The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Lord's Day, the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 21st through the 23rd verses. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. One of the intriguing things about a detective story is that you never know till the end what the outcome will be. And I think all of us know that it takes a bit of willpower to just keep reading and not peek to see who done it. The author of the story wants to keep us in suspense until the very end. But it's quite a different thing with the author of our lives, the author of the whole creation, because he has in fact already told us what the outcome will be, and in doing that, he's given us a vision to see our lives in this world as we should. And what is that vision? It's the vision given in Christ, our risen Lord. In him we see what God has in mind, both for his human creatures and indeed for the whole creation. As we heard in the epistle read on this Lord's Day, where St. Paul writes, "The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." What a wonderful and mysterious vision that is. Now, all of us know that our vision sometimes needs to be corrected. We all know how it is when our eyesight is bad. Sometimes things at a distance are blurred, or things close up are distorted. And we know what a wonderful change it is when the eye doctor is able to correct our vision. I'll never forget how it was when I got my first pair of glasses when I was just 13 years old. I picked them up at a shop at the south end of Mount Vernon Place, which has always been one of my very favorite places since I was a little boy. So I got those glasses and put them on. And how wonderful it was to see the square with its Washington Monument in a way I hadn't been seeing it for some time. Yes, our vision sometimes needs correction. And the vision God gives us of what he has in store for us in the end, he provides us with the vision we truly need As the story of our lives unfold with all its lights and shadows, its joys and sorrows and its perplexities, life lived in a world that is both so wonderful in all its beauty as God's good creation, but also terrifying as a fallen world which in a mysterious way shares in humankind's rebellion against its good creator. In the epistle for this Lord's Day, there's a lot about groaning. Paul speaks of how the whole creation has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth, and of how we ourselves groan inwardly. And isn't the picture Paul paints in writing to the Romans one that speaks to our condition here and now? We've all been horrified by the terrible floods in Texas, with the unspeakable anguish of parents whose children have perished in the flood, and of so many people who've lost their loved ones, lost everything they had. And then there's been the situation here in our own city where a whole group of people have overdosed, which to me is something that's really hard to fathom, how that can happen. And who can fail to be appalled by the seemingly never-ending tragedy in Gaza and in Ukraine and in other parts of the world? Yes, St. Paul's words about the whole creation groaning as if in the pains of childbirth is as true today as ever. This is a fallen world, a world subject to corruption, a world subject to the malice of the demonic powers, a world subject to human depravity in all its cruelty and ugliness. Truly an appalling vision. St. Paul speaks of the groaning of the whole creation. But then he goes on to say that not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. In these words, St. Paul is using the picture of the first fruits of the harvest. And the point is that after the first fruits, the harvest will surely follow. Paul speaks of the first fruits of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, who in baptism has given us, as it were, the down payment on our inheritance. Paul actually uses the word for down payment in another of his epistles. As St. John writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And that's the vision that sustains and enlivens us all our days. The risen Lord, whose light bathes the whole creation in its radiance. We obviously can't know how our lives will unfold, and we most certainly can't know what lies ahead for this God-loved, yet tragically fallen world. But what God has in mind for us in the end, what God has in mind for the whole creation in the end, is given in the vision of Christ, our risen Lord, our merciful Savior. In the meantime, we are called to live as those who by his mercy belong to him. In the gospel for this Lord's Day, the Lord Jesus says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And then he goes on to say, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. A disciple is a student. A disciple is one who follows a teacher. We are disciples of Jesus. And Jesus is God's tender mercy made flesh. Jesus is the exact image and likeness of the Father, whose tender mercies are over all his works. And so if we're to be disciples, students, followers of Jesus, our lives too must be marked by the same kind of tender mercy. That tender mercy which will in the end bring us to that home, which will be home indeed. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten.